Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Fine. So, recently, I can't remember if we've talked about this before because all this stuff blurs together for me. So, tell me if this is redundant, but recently we were in the middle of negotiating a deal and just something went
south.
And I wanted to call up one of the people involved who was originally a friend.
Oh, no.
And unravel, right? And just like, this, you scumbag. And like, we were crystal clear before you wasted our time and cost these opportunities. And, you know, what the, you know, I had just had it. Like, I had kind of like been dealing with this for months and I had gotten to sort of like my end game with it. And I was feeling that overwhelming impulsivity to call and say, you know, screw you and screw this and you blew it and blah, blah, blah. And my business partner was like, Jill, please don't do this.
Jill, please.
He just, you know,
sorry.
He's like, Jill,
please don't do this.
Please, please. And I was like, okay. So then we hang up, right? And I call him back. I'm like, no, I should call. And he's like, please. Please don't do this. I'm like, okay. Then I'm like, gee, I really feel I should call and say da, 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 da. And he's like, okay, what do you think that that's going to accomplish? And I was like, well, they will know that they, you know, that they have blown it. He's like, well, they already know that this is a deal killer.
Quite aware of it.
Yeah, he's like, they know this is a deal killer. And I was like, well, they will know I am pissed. And he's like, and do you think they care? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, nope, probably not. And if anything, it's just weakness on your part because it's supposed to be business. And then they know that they've upset you. So you lose, right? And
that was very good advice.
Well, and then he's like, ultimately, what are we trying to accomplish? He's like, we want to get in this business. These people run in that business. If you call them and you go off half-cocked and you say go and screw yourself, And they're going to go around town and say that you went off half-cocked and you're, you know, he's like, why give them that ammunition to use against you? And I was like, I won't send it in an email. I'll do it in a phone call. Oh, he's God. Like, Jill, please. And then, you know, he goes, remember, because there was a piece of advice that I loved. And I think I said it on the show before, but I don't remember. And it was Warren Buffett. And he said, you know what? You can always tell someone to go to hell tomorrow.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Like, take a beat. Take a minute. Take a breath.
That's a
just stop.
Quote.
And I realize in my life that I have really struggled with impulsivity. Truly, like just that impulse to say, screw you and I'm out and, you know, I'm out of here and you're not pulling one over on me. And part of it's pride, part of it's ego. And it's just this overwhelming feeling of like being bullied and I won't tolerate it because it reminds me of my dad. So I'm like, I'm out of here and I don't need you. Right. So I get kind of historically charged. But I think that many of us get into these situations where we work on building a business or we work on building a relationship or whatever it is that we put years, mm-hmm. months, weeks, months, years, decades into building. And then in 1 minute of impulsivity, you realize you can destroy all of that, right? You can just wipe it out with one blow up at somebody.
No, that's true. You don't want to think that, but it's true.
Believe me, I've lived it. It's true. Trust me. It is true. I've managed to do it to myself at least 3 times in this lifetime. So, yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yes. Like
irreparable.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, there was a... this is the best thing that ever happened to me, but at the time I had no idea. I had left training and I was working in the entertainment industry from 24 to 27. I'd finally gotten promoted to being a motion picture packaging agent, from an assistant, from a trainee, you know, all this stuff, from production assistant, all, you know, worked my way up. And there was a guy that I hated and he had done something really evil and someone gave me the opportunity to kind of rat him out and say that he, you know, had embezzled funds. And, well, of course, this guy was really powerful and in saying like, yeah, he did this and this and this and that's how he got around it. Well, he was leveraged with that information into staying at the agency and then he blackballed me all over town. That's how I ended up back in training because at 27, I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to make a living? And I had to go back to training and then, of course, realized I loved it. And it's another story entirely. But sure, in one fell swoop, I destroyed my entire career in the entertainment industry as an executive and wiped out 3 years of effort because I hated this guy. And in a moment of impulsivity, instead of thinking through, like, what are the consequences of me getting involved in this? You know, I took the bait, I ratted him out, and there you go. Are you kidding? I mean, season 3 of The Biggest Loser was a completely different issue than this last go around. And in the season 3, like, I had a knockdown, drag out fight with a producer, and they were like, that's it. You know, we're not, even though the guy was a complete jerk, it's not the point. It wasn't handled the right way. I didn't have to get involved. I could have let my agents, my lawyers right. handle it, but I was like, screw you, dude. You're a disgusting human being. And season 3, they were like, you know, forget it. It's just, this is too much trouble than it's worth. Then, of course, the show didn't work, and they asked me to come back. And, you know, we found a way because I had learned that lesson. But what if the show had worked? That would have been it, Janice. I would have. And I wasn't ready to be off of Loser at that point. I didn't have enough of a brand. So my point is that you can do real damage in a moment and destroy things you've worked on forever. And I just think before you, and you've heard, like, take a breath, count to 10, right? You know, live in the pause. And we've mm-hmm. talked about that a lot. But really, before you go off half-cocked and you lose it on someone, just stop. Just stop for a second and go, if I do lose it, what will I achieve? How will it get me closer to my ultimate goal? And then at the end of it, even if you're like, I don't care, I want to say screw you, you know, you can tell them to go to hell tomorrow. And that's what my team kept saying is like, you know what, Jill, you have the power of no. You have the power of no. No one's bullying you. You can say go to hell tomorrow. You can say go to hell tomorrow. And it looks like ultimately it will work out, this deal situation. But it was hard and it was a pain in the butt. And I mean, I could have stuck a stick of dynamite in that sucker.
Yeah.
And it's a business that we've been trying to get into for 6 years. So it looks like it might actually work out. But that's kind of my point. I guess the lesson, the thing that's on my mind is like, don't let your pride get in the way. Don't let your ego get in the way. Don't allow yourself to become overwhelmed by negative emotions. Stop and ask questions so that you can start to reason. You can actually shift the part of your brain that you think with from the part that's impulsive to the part that, like, from your amygdala to your frontal lobe by stopping and questioning and saying, like, okay, where is this going? What is this going to accomplish? How is this going to further my cause? What am I hoping to achieve? What do I need to do in this situation to get where I ultimately wanted to go? And you know what? There's always tomorrow. You can always tell them to go to hell tomorrow. And yeah, that's really it.
Oh, it's good. You know,
that's all I have to say.
We are trapped. Not that we're trapped, but we live in an age where there is so much immediacy. You know, like
dangerous.
It is, and that's
boy.
What I mean. When you say we can say go to hell tomorrow, we can also write the email tomorrow. Like yep. A lot of people say, write it, save
don't,
it, don't accidentally
send
hit
it.
Send,
yeah.
And look at it again in the morning. And I've been given that advice many, many times.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the olden days. I know you don't like it when I talk about the
olden
days. But in the olden days, when you wanted to speak to someone, you'd write the letter, dear.
Yeah, and then you'd have to
Charles.
Mail it.
And then
mail
have,
it, yeah.
No, not even mail. Then that horse would have to take it.
I'd
like to tell Charles that I love him.
Janice was born in 1862.
Like, I would like to
Canada's
be.
Canada's behind, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to acknowledge that. I would like to be Charles's wife. And you roll it, and then you put the stamp on it.
Charles's what?
They had English accents, too.
Yeah, they did, right.
And then you give it to the horseman, and the horseman gallops off to another land and delivers it. And then you wait to Charles.
What is she talking about?
To write back and say, yes, what? Penelope, I will marry you.
This is all assuming Indians don't attack the horseman.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't know why she's gotten into like acting out Pride and Prejudice.
There's no attacks. This is Pride and Prejudice. That's what it is. Pride and Prejudice. Just think that. If we could live our lives in that pace, then we could tell. Then I could say,
nothing
"Dear
we get
Charles,
done.
Go to hell tomorrow." See, I was bringing it back to what your original, but it wasn't really a good.
No, it was a weak analogy. Especially the horse thing, because that's unrelatable.
I'm just saying that in the olden days, it took a while to get a message.
Uh-huh.
Although, if the message and you were regret it, then you
would
have
telephone?
To shoot. Then you would have to shoot the horseman. You'd have to
what
get on your horse.
What the hell is she talking
well,
about?
Let's say in the
olden
days.
Oh my God, she's still talking
you
about it.
You have to find the horseman and shoot him, right?
Exactly.
Like, what does this have to do with Warren Buffett?
I'm just saying, if you did send a message and you go, oh God, I shouldn't have sent that. You would have to get on your horse, chase down the horseman, shoot him in the back.
Why would you shoot him and not just ask for the letter back?
Oh, I guess you could. You could say, excuse me, horseman, I need that letter back.
Right. But why would you resort to murder?
Well, just it was more dramatic.
Still easier than unsending an email, though.
Exactly.
I agree. You can't unsend those emails. You're right about that.
That's right, Jake. Very good.
Yeah,
you can't
that's
unsend.
True.
Look, even Brittany's acknowledging that, what a good point this is.
Yeah.
God, I'm glad I'm here. So, dear Charles.
Oh, my God. Okay. Just off.
I love you, Jake, glitch. Charles.
Oh. Dear Charles, I love you, Charles.
Dear Charles.
What's wrong with her today? You know she's sober, right? She's still like this.
Really?
Yes. God.
Dear Charles.
Oh, God. Okay, time for a segment.
Time
did
for
you
a
like
segment.
How I did that?
Yeah.
Time for a segment, Janice.
Mm-hmm.
Janice, let's see if she's been listening. What's an obesogen?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I really don't
We've
know.
We've been doing this for years.
I don't think I've ever heard you say. I've heard
I've
you say
said it
morbid,
a million times.
I've heard you say morbidly obese, but I've never heard obesogen. You say
obesogen.
Janice, you never said that on the show.
There are chemicals, Janice, that disrupt the function of our hormone system. Hello. It causes us to gain weight. They're linked to all kinds of deadly diseases that curse the American populace and even the Canucks as well.
Wow.
Hello. For years, I've been talking about it.
Well, I just don't recall the word, but you have been talking about things that attack us.
Yeah, I have. And I always say it's calories in, calories out, but the quality of your food is really important because mm-hmm. the chemicals in the food are linked to obesity, hence the term obesogens. Okay. And let me tell you, there's no coincidence that if you look at the rise of obesity in the world, it simultaneously matches the rise and the distribution of industrial chemicals in our food and our beauty products. So with that said, I wanted to give you some simple tips, but just to prove my point, I mean, literally these obesogens are entering our bodies from a variety of different sources. So it could be the hormones found in soy products. It could be the hormones administered to animals in factory farms. It could be the plastics in some of our food and drink packaging. It could be the ingredients that are added to processed foods, the pesticides that are sprayed on produce. And basically what they do is they act by mimicking our hormones like estrogen, and they can literally misprogram our stem cells to become fat cells by altering the function of our genes.
Really?
Oh, dude. Hello. I wrote a whole book about it. Hello. Master Your Metabolism. Enormous New York Times bestseller. Hello.
No, I just...
Hello?
It's alien stuff when you start saying stuff like
I know,
that.
Dude. It's scary. But let me... That's... Okay, I get it. So that's why I just wanted to go over some... I think it does get overwhelming. And, you know, I'm always telling you, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. So the first thing I want to do is start out with a do. So you've heard of the Dirty Dozen. And those are like the 12 thin-skinned fruits and vegetables that you should never eat if they're not organic. You know, it's cherries, strawberries, celery, things like that. But what we don't talk about are the clean 15. Okay. And what that is a group of conventionally grown fruits and vegetables with the least pesticide residue. Because people are, you know, again, I get it. You don't have the money. Times are tough. Organic seems impossible. So let's talk about the better choice you can make if you're not going organic. So we've got onions, avocados, pineapples, sweet corn, mangoes, asparagus, sweet peas, kiwi, cabbage, eggplants, papayas, watermelon, broccoli, tomatoes. I'm actually really surprised about tomatoes. I didn't know that one. And sweet potatoes. And the idea is that most of the things I listed either have like a thick skin or a rind, or there's something like an onion or broccoli, which has kind of a bitter taste and produces its own natural insecticide. So, because what happens is when you're taking in all of this insecticide, I mean, it's going to wreak havoc on everything. The organochlorine pesticides impair your thyroid function. There's something called, I can't even pronounce it, it's like tributylatin. It's a fungicide that basically causes fat cell formation from the stem cells. I mean, I could go on and on. These are all from the Journal of Molecular and Cellular Endocrinology, blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on. And I don't want to get too scientific. Just follow what I'm saying. Don't eat the Dirty Dozen non-organic. Instead, opt for the clean 15. So instead of having strawberries and cherries for breakfast, have the pineapples, mangoes, and papayas or watermelon. You get what I'm saying? Now, another big one here, and this is actually easy and it's not going to cost you more. I just need you to change the way you're living, is you got to stop eating plastic. And I know you're like, I don't eat plastic. I don't understand what you're talking about. But the reality is you are. And it's generally in the packaging of your food. So the first thing you want to follow is never, ever heat your food in plastic. So
yeah, I stopped doing that.
Yeah, if you've got like a to-go container or, gosh, sometimes like you'll get something frozen and it comes in a little plastic thing and you stick it in the microwave, or your kid might have a little plastic bowl and you nuke their food in the microwave. Don't ever microwave your food in plastic, because when you heat the plastic stuff or the chemicals in the plastic can leach into the food. Here's one you might not have thought about. Avoid meat wrapped in plastic. So, like when you buy the package of chicken, mm-hmm. and it's in the little yellow styrofoam thing, right? And then it's got the plastic wrap around it with the price on it. Don't do that. Go to the butcher and have him wrap the meat in paper. Big, I swear to God, it adds up. It's important.
Because it sits in that for a couple of days?
But buddy, it absorbs the plastic and then you eat it. Yeah. Exactly. But remember, it's the cumulative effect. So it's like, okay, it's the plastic in your, you know, the cup that you just got, the styrofoam that's leaching into the hot coffee. Then it's the plastic that you nuked your food in. Then it's the plastic on the inside of the can of the food you're about to eat, which is what I'm about to tell you. So you want to cut down on canned goods. So instead of buying like vegetables in cans, buy frozen vegetables in a bag. Instead of buying like tuna in a can, try to get tuna, like fresh tuna if you can. You want to avoid cans that have BPA, bisphenol A. There's a brand called Eden Foods that will have, that their cans don't contain BPA. Another thing is to buy food in jars instead of cans. Because of the glass, whenever you can. And, you know, avoid plastic mugs. People have like little to-go mugs and this and that and styrofoam cups and all that crap. All that stuff leaches, like styrene, which is a chemical that's linked to cancer. It all leaches into your tea. This is, avoid it whenever you can. And when it comes to meat, if you had to choose, right, if it was like, okay, you know, do I do the organic chicken or the organic beef? What do I do? The fish or the fish is obviously not going to be organic. There's no such thing as an organic fish right now. Even though you'll see organic salmon, it's like it, there's farm raised and there's ocean caught. You want ocean caught for the same reason, because it's not, it's fed ocean, it eats plankton instead of corn and all that crap. But at the end of the day, you want to worry about mercury, but then you watch out for the predatory fish. You don't eat big fish. That said, chicken, they are given antibiotics, and you know they are fed crap, and they're filled with all sorts of, you know, this and that and God knows what, but they aren't given steroids and growth hormones, at least not in the U.S. So if you had to make a decision about meat, where you want to spend your money is on the organic grass-fed meat. Because when you're looking at things like, you know, trenbolone, it's like, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, trenbolone acetate, it's an anabolic steroid. It's 8 to 10 times as potent as human testosterone. And I mean, it just, it wreaks havoc. Basically, when you're eating these steroids and these hormones, they wreak havoc on your estrogen levels, your progesterone levels, your testosterone levels. And all of this stuff not only makes you sick, but it makes you fat. Whereas a grass-fed organic beef cow doesn't have any of that. And, of course, they're not, you know, we've talked about what they're feeding these animals as well. I mean, you know, a grass-fed cow has none of those hormones. And, in fact, they have a ton of omega-3, which is a CLA fat, right? Conjugated linoleic acid, which is great for heart health and actually great for weight loss. So one cow makes you fat, and one cow actually helps you stay lean and is great for your heart health. So if there were, like, three things I would tell you right off the top that you could do, two of which won't cost you more money, one of which will cost you a little more, but if you prioritize where you're putting it and you eat less meat, so if you say, okay, I'm going to have beef once a week, maybe twice, instead of cheap beef every day, and in the long run, you're going to save a fortune on your medical bills. So, yeah, that's it. Now what?
Well, let me see how long that particular talk was.
Could have been a bit lengthy. Tiny bit verbose.
No, that was fine.
All right, good.
You know what we need? We need a snappy. We need
Mother
a
of God.
We need a snappy fitness segment.
Oh.
And we're gonna come right back with one of those.
What's a ginch?
A ginch is your underpants.
What?
I thought that was britches. Britches? No, britches are pants. Ginch or gaunch is your underpants.
Ginch your gaunch?
Ginch or gaunch.
What's a gaunch?
Gaunch. Your gaunchies.
Is she serious?
Hey, you got your... Hey, those are nice gaunchies.
That's no, underpants. Come on.
That's underpants.
In
britches,
what planet?
Brittany, britches are pants.
Pull on your, what planet is a gaunch of underwears?
Gaunch. Hey, man, check out the gaunch.
Is she serious?
That's a very common term.
Are you guys serious?
We're getting Canadian ratings for this.
Oh, is this a Canadian thing?
No, I don't believe so. I think
Now what do I have to do? I have to call a department store to talk to their undergarment section. Are you serious?
I still can't believe you
All
did
All right,
Gorilla
in the meantime,
Radio.
While I'm about to do my snappy fitness tips, somebody find me A Canadian department store, please.
No, seriously.
No, no.
They're not going to say gone.
I'm
going to
say
the
can
underwear.
You please tell me, up in Canada, do you use words like ginch and gaunch?
Why do we have to do this?
Because I think you're lying. I think that this is the trick to get me to say this weird shit, oops, stuff, so people look at me crazier than they already do, with more judgment than previously they had before. I think you're sabotaging me. I don't think there is such a thing as a ginch or a gaunch, and I'm going to call somebody and find out. Brittany, get on that. In the meantime, would you like your Snappy Fitness segment?
Yes, please.
Here we go. All right, so I hate running. I think it's so stupid.
I still can't believe
it. Oh, I hate it. God, I hate it. I hate it. And it's just, I'm not built for it. I physically, I'm just not built for it. So I have to do all kinds of stuff to, like, trick myself to run better or, you know, to run longer. So I thought I would share some of my running, my latest running tips and motivation. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. So Treadmill University. That's what I call it now. So I just hate it so much, and I get on my treadmill, and I'll listen to either, like, a book on tape or a podcast, or I'll try to sort of, like, educate myself because it kind of takes my mind off how miserable I am. Music doesn't really do it, actually, which is kind of amazing, but I'm like, oh, God, I've listened to this song 15 times. Like, it doesn't help, which is shocking. Now I have to listen to, like, I have to listen to a podcast or something of that nature to kind of help me. Or a book on tape. I'm like, okay, all right. Because it's just, it gets me, it forces me to think. Whereas music doesn't really force me to think. It forces me to think about something other than the fact that I'm miserable.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
All right, now, another one that I want you to try to do is, I do this. I'll play, like, goal games on the treadmill. So I'll say, okay, how fast can I burn 50 calories? Or how fast can I run this quarter of a mile? Mm-hmm. Or I'll look at the displays, right? And there's, like, a timer, a calorie burn, and miles. And I'm like, okay. And it'll say, like, 3.87 miles. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get to 4 miles, and then I'll be done. But then I look at the clock, and it's, like, 38 minutes. And I was like, oh, wait. I'm just going to get that to 40. Once that says 40 minutes, then I'll be done. Oh, hold on. I'm at 375 calories. Okay, I'm going to get to 400 calories, and then I'll be done.
Yep.
So find some sort of little goal, whether it's how fast you can hit a 50, you know, a 50 calorie burn, or how fast you can run a quarter of a mile, or again, like, hitting a certain goal on the treadmill with regard to either the calories burned, the distance you've gone, or the time you've been on there. It allows you to kind of outfox the negativity and be a little more goal oriented. Another thing you can do is run for a cause. So, like,
that's right.
Oh, geez. But I'm biking. But it's like, I got signed up for a stand up to cancer thing. So how am I going to say no to that? So run for a cause, you know, that you feel passionate about, because it incentivizes you and it helps to kind of gain support from a community. Okay. Find a buddy to run with. So if you're like, well, no one wants to run with me, you can join a club. Yep. Like, there's a website called RRCA.org. It's like an athletic club, and you can find little running buddies in your area. All right, now, let's talk a little bit about how to increase your running ability. Listen to your stride. So, obviously, you want to strike like a ninja. We don't want to hear you. That's the idea. If your foot strikes and you sound like an elephant and it's like pound, 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 that's actually really bad for you. And now all of the running coaches and everything are telling you to strike on the forefoot. The front of your foot versus the heel.
See, isn't that...
I know, dude. I've been trying
it.
It's
so bizarre to me.
I've been playing with it a little bit. I'd use a regular shoe, though. I don't do a barefoot shoe.
No. Oh,
I
God,
just
no.
won't do it. I will not do it. But it's actually kind of easy. You just lean slightly forward. And so, and you want to strike. Like, I think about striking between my big toe and the toe next to it, whatever that... index toe. Toe called?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's for the point, you think, right there?
You kind of strike. I think about, like, it's almost like I think I've given this tip before on the show, but it's almost like you're clawing the ground like a dinosaur, sort of like with your feet. But I also want you to think about the sound of your feet. So, you know, softer, quieter, better, louder, bad, bad, bad. And when you're running uphill, you want to increase your arm swing, like you're pulling yourself up on a rope, and you want to lift your knees a little bit higher. It helps with your performance and, of course, your calorie burn. That's important. Huh, Janice? Yes.
Yeah.
And also, to add a little bit more spring to your step, try doing some plyometric drills. because it just helps you to strengthen your tendons. It's going to help you prevent injury, because running, I just find that if you're, you know, people can get the worst injuries when it comes to running. Try a plyometric circuit like twice a week with box jumps or single leg hops or lateral jumps, and just try 3 sets of 10 reps each twice a week. And it just helps improve your running. Another little game that you can play with yourself, I call it the Forrest Gump. Every time you go for a run, just try to go either a little faster or a little longer. Mm-hmm. So if you did like a mile, next time go 1.25 miles. Or if you ran at a 5, next time try to do your run at a 5.1 or 5.2. Just ever so slightly, as you inch these things up over time, you'll notice that you gradually become significantly more fit and you perform better. Now, here's another thing that you can do to help with motivation is explore places to run in America. So there are all different kinds of races. Keep it fresh. Keep it different. Give yourself something to look forward to. There's a website called runnersworld.com/racefinder. And it'll tell you all the cool races going on around the country. And then one more tip on performance. All right. So there's a running method of madness to a road runner, right? There's this running coach that suggested this. He said, an efficient running economy is 90 steps a minute per foot. This is an exercise physiologist who gave this tip. All right. And basically, count your steps a minute. If your number is under 90, shorten your stride.
Under 90. On one foot.
Yes. Count your steps a minute. Now, if your step is under 90, you need to shorten your stride. You're too long.
Wow.
Shorten. So it helps you get the stride right. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Hmm. That's all I got. Was it snappy?
If you're over 90. Wow.
Under 90. Means your stride is too long.
Right.
So yeah. That's an efficient running economy. So you want 90 steps per foot per minute. So it should be 180 per minute. And if it's under 90, shorten the stride up.
Per minute, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. You know, that was interesting what you said about the plyometrics to do that, because at physio, which I've been still going to get my knee back, that's what we do a lot of that. And basically what she's trying to get me to do is to get my knee tracking right again.
And how's it working out?
Good.
Good to know.
Yeah. But all that's right. Very important.
Now let's
I know you're not really interested.
No, I'm not. Let's call the Canadian.
I knew as soon as I opened my mouth that...
I care.
What I was...
Can someone get me a Canadian...
It's just good to know
Canadian underwear store on the phone.
To track your knees right when you're running, because it can cause problems in the end. Canadian. Oh, my God. You're...
Okay, who are stop down for
I'm
a
gonna,
minute.
No, I'm going to save you.
No.
It says it. It's Canadian slang for... undergarments, men's underwear. She's right.
No, she's not.
She's actually right.
And call somebody.
Gotch. Look at her. She's saying so happy.
There. Gotch. It's in the Canadian Oxford Dictionary.
There's no such thing as a Canadian Oxford Dictionary.
It's slang for men's underwear. Yep. Especially briefs. So if she's wearing men's underwear and briefs, then she's right.
Oh, Canada, a home and native land. Up your ginchy, Jillian.
Why did she become Irish just then?
Because
does it say anything about that in there?
Way back. Many, many years ago.
I don't think the Canadians are descended from the Irish.
She had a British accent this morning.
The Canadians are made up of many, just like America is made up of many cultures. There's no really like if you were born.
There's no one responsible for this, is what you're saying.
Oh, I'm so happy. See?
Hey, Brittany.
Yeah.
You're fired. Now what? Now you've got your snappy fitness segment. Brittany will be packing her things. Where would you like to come up next?
Now you need to abuse one person on the phone and we can call it a day.
All right, good.
Okay. All right. We are back. And Melissa is waiting to talk to you.
Excellent. Hey, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, I wrote in late last night while I couldn't sleep a question for you.
Okay.
So basically, I'm about to turn 55. And although I look about 10 years younger,
oh,
at least that's what they tell me.
That a girl.
About 6 years ago, I lost my only child. She was a 17-year-old daughter.
Oh, my goodness. And, I'm so sorry.
Oh, thanks. And, you know, up until that point, I was very healthy, ran a lot, was in the best shape I've ever been.
Yeah.
Weighed about 105 pounds, dripping wet, and about 4'11".
Okay.
And then kind of just, you know, over a period of a few years, kind of lost my, you know, sense of self and passion for exercise. And, but now I have a great job, an amazing girlfriend, yet I just can't seem to get, this mojo back. You know, I've lost it. Ever since my daughter died, you know, I just kind of can't seem to get that thrill back that you get when, you know, when you work out, the rush you get when it happens. Because now for me, it feels basically like torture. And it's not something I look forward to.
Okay.
So just kind of, and I, you know, I so appreciate what you do for, and I, you know, big fan from Biggest Loser Days and how you helped people see that dynamic of, you know, where they got lost.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And thought maybe you could give me some you know, advice.
Well, All right. I have a few thoughts. The first one to always go towards is, and this is the one that is going to be the most sustaining. So in other words, you can find various ways of catalyzing yourself towards a change or into a place of action. But what will last and stick with you is always your why for the behavior you're about to engage in. So my question to you is, why do you want to get back to the gym?
Because I liked the way I felt.
And do you mean the endorphin rush and that's not happening? Or do you mean just physically the way your body looked, the way you felt strong?
I think it's both, actually, Jillian. I think it's both. I think it's like, you know, you feel like, you know, you do feel the adrenaline rush and you do feel good about the way you look. It's a package, you know, it all goes together.
Okay.
For me.
Okay. So the first thing is, you need to think about, all right, when I go to the gym, I don't like to go to the gym. Jillian, don't like to go to the gym. But what I do like is, and I think about the end result of the behavior I'm engaging in. So I make that positive connection as instead of a negative connection to it. And I think, okay, I'm going to look better. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to, you know, my jeans are going to fit on Friday night and I'm going to love that. You know, I've got a vacation coming up and I'm going to wear a bathing suit. And I, you know, I think about things that are coming up and how important it is to me. Oh, I got to go back to TV and, you know, next year. I want to look good for that again or whatever it is, whatever your reason is. And I want you to be specific. Okay. I'm going to feel better in my relationship. I'm going to look better in my clothes and that's going to make me feel blah, blah, blah. I'll be more confident at work. All those things that it's going to do for you. I'm going to feel sexier. I'm going to feel stronger. I'm going to feel good. And that's the motivation to go. But I feel like a suspicion. And again, I function sometimes empathically. Like I get a feeling to ask something and I'm either right or I'm wrong. And I could very, very well be wrong. But I'm feeling compelled to ask you, if you went back to the gym and you felt sexy again and strong again and affluent again and work is good and your relationship is good, would there be any guilt there?
Probably.
Elaborate, please.
Well, you know, because I think that's a sense of moving on.
Aha!
You know?
I knew it! Mm-hmm. I knew it! I knew it! Okay. So then here's our problem. I knew it. I knew it. So here's our problem. You would feel like you had finally moved on. If you made this one last chapter, You've got a good relationship. You've got a good job, but you're neglecting your health. And that is, yeah. You know, there are several key aspects of our lives. There's our professional, our personal, and our physical well-being. These three components of a reality. And this one, you've held back. And I sensed that it had to do with a guilt and a feeling of having moved on if you moved forward with this. But here's where the shift needs to come from. I need you to think about your daughter right now and what she would want for you.
Oh, yeah, she'd be kicking my rear end about now.
What would she want for you? Tell me.
Yeah. Oh, she would want me to be the way I was because she knew I was happy, you know, feeling physically good and, you know, feeling good about who I was. I mean, I was wearing her clothes sometimes and she'd say, you can't do that. That's not what moms do. But, you know, it was just kind of, you know, it's kind of one of those things that where we would just like, you know, I'd be like, okay, I get it. I'm just trying to make a point here that I look as good as you do and I'm old, not older.
Of course. But, of
right, you
course.
Know, so that, I think you're right on point. And of course, probably this occurred to me, but I couldn't, you know, I'm like, oh, no, that's not it. But
it is.
You said it.
But I think it is. And something in me told me to ask you, which means that and then you didn't say no. You responded, which means that it is. And so what I need you to do when you feel that way is to think about what she would say to you and what she would want for you. And to do it for her.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think of the loved ones that we've lost, and I admit I've never experienced anything like that, and I can't presume to know what you've been through. However, I have experienced the loss of a loved one, and I know in my heart that what they would want for me is the best possible life.
Right.
The best possible life. And you need to really, when you fight it and you don't go to the gym and you can't find that passion for it, I want you to hear her in your head telling you, Mom, go and live well and live happy and have the best life that you can to honor her, to do it for her. Imagine how devastated she would be if she thought that you let yourself go because of her.
Right.
I mean, literally.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Right now, I want you to just say to me, what would she say to you right now? What would she say to you right now?
She would say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to yourself? Yeah.
And?
Yeah, and I would say, you know.
No, and what else would she say?
That I need. She would tell me I would need to stop it.
And?
And to start caring about myself.
Because?
Because I care. I should care about it. I mean, I really too should care about it. But she cares about it.
Right. She cares about it.
Right.
The next time you are questioning this or feeling guilty, I want you to come back and listen to this and what you just said, because it's really what she would say, and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that motivation of moving on, but you've got the guilt that's standing in the way of that. So I need you to come back and listen to this and allow that to give you the permission to take care of yourself again.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Please, you hurt her. You hurt her when you don't.
Yeah.
She would be just furious and devastated and frustrated and heartbroken. I promise you. I know for a fact. All I can think about are all the kids that tell me how much they worry about their parents and their health. I mean, I can almost hear this kid in my head. Please, I'm telling you, please, if you ever heard one thing, you have to trust what you've just said and the conversation that we've just had and live your absolute, the best possible life that you can in her honor.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep, I totally get it.
I hope so, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Julian.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right, bud. We're here, by the way, if ever you need to check back in.
I got the email.
Atta girl. If you ever need a little reality check, let me know.
I'll give Janice a jingling and say, hey, just tell Jillian things are much better.
I'm hoping to hear that, but if they're not, check in and we'll talk again.
All right. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right?
All right.
Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I knew it. Smelt that one a mile away. It's fascinating. It's like there's a certain part of this job where you can, this is going to sound so psychotic, but it's like, that's why it's never been about fitness for me, because I can hear something in my head that tells me what to say. I knew that was it. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know how to describe it to you.
And you can't tell her. She has to.
Look, Janice is upset.
No, it's just, it's there's a weird, with grief. Oh, Lord. There's a weird, no, but it is a guilt. And I get so.
Because you have it.
I do. And I'm exactly. I can't put myself exactly as anybody else, but.
You suffer from the same thing. I know.
There is. But it's almost like sometimes it's weird. You think, if I get happy or if I get healthy or if I look good, it's not even yourself. It's you think, but people will, what will people think if I move on? It's just, you load all this stuff on top of yourself.
That's so wrong, bud.
I know in theory it is, but you feel it. It's an organic.
Which makes it real. My mom always tells me that it doesn't matter if it's a psychic reality for you. I know. But it's wrong and it's sad because it's the exact opposite of what your family would want for you.
Exactly. You know, and the voice, you know, like it's like a gestalt. You know, I could sit, you know, I could put my mother in, you know, that had that con, like what you were doing with Melissa. You know, you had that con. What's the conversation?
Yeah,
what does it sound
sure.
like to you? And you know, that is the conversation.
Of course it is.
First comes, you know.
And think about this. I sometimes do this when I don't have that guilt, unfortunately, but I don't have that guilt. But if my mom died, I would do the same thing I do with my grandmother who died. And I was really, really, really close with my grandmother. And sometimes when I'm trying to do something or get something or go after something, I have the exact opposite. I think about her with me, cheering me on. I think about making her proud. If only she could see me now, kind of a thing. And, you know, I twist it. I flip it the other way of like, if she could see me now, if she could only know, or she would be so proud, or she's with me right now today. And nah, man. Mm-mm.
Yeah. And you know, and she is, because, you know, just before my mom, close to when she was dying, and I said, you know what, Mom, and I had to say it. I was so scared to say it to her. I don't know why I was so afraid to say it. Because I thought she would think that I was, you know, giving up. But I said, you know, Mom, I'm going to miss you so much.
Ugh.
And she said, she just turned to me and she said, she says, I'm always going to be here.
That's
and
funny.
I kind of went, you know, I wasn't expecting that, you know, but she just said, I'm always going to be here.
Did I ever tell you about that dream I had with my grandmother?
Mm-mm.
So she died when I was 10. And, you know, my parents were just about to head into a really ugly, ugly divorce. I was an only child up until I was 16 years old. She was the only one that I ever felt really understood me. You know, I was a fat kid, a loner kid. She was the only one that I ever felt truly unconditionally loved me. And she died and I was wrecked, and I'd been wrecked my whole life. I mean, you know, I have a tattoo of her on my foot, that angel on my foot. I mean, you know, on and on. And I looked for her and I looked for her and I looked for her. And I mean, I had done everything. I had talked to psychics and this and that. And we had a deal. Right. And I don't know how many of you have made that deal with a loved one, but it's like, if you can, give me a sign, you know, when you die, give me a sign. And, you know, of course, nothing. So I'm 27. I'm 27 years old. And I remember saying to my therapist, I'm like, I've never even had a dream with her in it. She is gone, gone. It's now been 17 years, okay? And I'm leaving ICM. In fact, I got blackmailed out of ICM. This was when I was a motion picture talent agent. I'd left training at 24. At 27, I got blackballed out of the business. I don't think in my entire life I'd been depressed. It was the only time in my life I thought, geez, I need to go on antidepressants. I was completely and utterly lost. And I fell asleep on my couch with Baxter, my little dog Baxter. Mm-hmm. He was a puppy at the time. Fell asleep on my couch, and I'm walking down the hallway of my mom's house in my dream. And I'm following my mom. And it's funny because my mom and my grandmother had unresolved issues, right? And my mom was grieving something. I'm following her, and my mom kind of peels off to the right. And at the end of the hallway, there's a woman in my mom's room putting things away. And I keep walking down the hallway, and she turns around, and she looks at me, and it was my grandmother. And I mean, clear as day. It was her. Not like it was my grandmother, and she turned into a fawn, and then she led me to right. Disneyland. No, I mean, it was her. Everything, the eyebrows penciled on, the way she had them, she would kill me if she heard me say that. But like, I mean, and she looks over her shoulder and she turns and she looks at me and she smiles, and I became hysterical in the dream, hysterical crying. And I know she spoke to me, like she didn't speak, her mouth didn't move, but I could hear what she was saying. And the one thing she said that stuck with me was, we see each other every day. And she meant, let this go. I'm always with you. And I woke up hysterical crying, and I called my mom at 4 a.m. and I was like, I saw grandma. And she told me that we see each other every day. And since then, I've been fine. I'm at peace. But it's weird that your mom said that to you, because that's exactly. And by the way, haven't dreamt of her since and knew that that was it. I knew that I was never going to see her again. I knew it was like, you get one and this is your one. And I knew it. It's like, I don't know what to tell you, Janice. And she said, we see each other every day. And it's like, I'm always with you. And even though it's doesn't always make it easier
on this level,
there's a certain peace that it brought to me. And it's stopped, like the obsession to find her, to know if she's okay. It's just, I was instantaneously at peace. Haven't seen her since. I'm 38 now, 11 years ago. 17 years since she died, said the same thing your mother said to you when she was dying. And you got to know it, man.
Yeah.
You got to know it. And you got to have their death mean something. My grandmother died of lung cancer. I never smoked. Ever. Never. And I probably would have been a kid that did, too. I was a real rebel. Never smoked. And I hate cigarettes, and I fight them like crazy, and I'm always involved in anti-cancer, hence the Stand Up to Cancer triathlon that I'm doing. But I'm telling you right now, you give their death meaning, and the best way you do that is by living well.
We need to end on a happy.
It is a happy note. It's about sort of like making peace and being able to kind of like carry that person with you and still like live in their honor, that ultimately is happy. It's as happy as that kind of stuff gets.
Yeah, I know, but couldn't we?
No, that's it. Because I'm thrilled with that call. I think it was really ultimately very positive, and I am happy with it. And I think I'm at my best today. So, because it's always all about me. So,
as it should be. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then we will say goodbye for the day.
All right, Weeper.
Weeper. I know.
Oh, poor Janice. I love to kick you when you're down.
I know. It's all good. It's all
good.
I mean,
we have to end the show because no one can take your sullen,
my sullen
disposition. It's just unbearable. We better say goodbye.
We best
oh,
say
God,
goodbye.
Oh, God, she's crying again.
We best say goodbye.
Bye-bye. That I wobbled in my walk and I'm trembling. That's right, you got me shaking. When you take me in your arms to talk romance, my heart starts doing that Saint Rita dance and I'm dancing. Yeah. Oh,
the night. Whenever this chill comes over me, I wanna hug you with all of my might. That's right, and I'm sweating. Oh, yeah, you got me shaking. You got me sweating. Oh, yeah, you got me shaking, girl.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.